Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on WYPR. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
So Cindy, we started out, the beginning of our program was all about just actually buying fish and a little bit of getting people over fish fears. Let's do a little quick layout of what else we want to talk about. Actually filleting fish, dealing with fish when you get it home,
mm-hmm.
and what to expect from different kinds of fish. And then we want to talk about a little bit some basic preparations,
mm-hmm.
two or three things. And then we talked about, in the last segment, giving each other a little bit of a quiz back and forth.
Right.
Essentially tossing one another a live fish.
Yeah.
And you got 30 minutes to deal with it, you know.
How do you cook this? What do you do with this thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Little,
ready,
little
get,
fish
live
quiz.
Scallops, go. You
a little,
know?
Yeah. A little fish quiz show.
Exactly,
yes.
Right.
We both love a competition, so. Here
nah.
We, yes. Okay.
Not once.
Hey, by the way, I want to do a quick thing, which is calories and fat in different fish, because it's interesting. Arctic char, these are all 3.5-ounce servings, okay? So Arctic char has 150 calories and 73 fat calories. Catfish has 135 calories and 68 fat. In contrast, something like flounder has 91 calories on a 3.5-ounce portion, and it has 10.8 calories from fat.
No wonder I like Arctic char so much better than
catfish.
Yeah,
right, exactly. Well, it
flounder.
Tells you the fat content of the fish. Grouper is 92 calories and 9.2 calories of fat. Halibut, 110 calories, 20.7 fat. And salmon, 183 calories.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
All love salmon. And 48.1. Oh, sorry, it's 98.1 from fat.
That's more like it.
So see, and then tuna, 144 calories. I think it was bluefin tuna specifically. 144 calories for a 3.5-ounce portion and 44 calories of fat. So it tells you the fatty fish, oh my goodness, they are just amazing. But that is something you need to consider when you're cooking.
When you're deciding how
yeah,
to prepare
yeah.
it, absolutely.
Is it fatty or is it not fatty?
Yeah, and if you prepare halibut with very little fat or grouper with very little fat, you're going to be an,
yeah. Well, it also affects the way
boy.
That they cook. It affects
oh, yeah.
not only obviously the way it tastes, the way it feels on your palate, or if you're eating it raw, very much how it tastes and how it feels on your palate, but also the way when you are cooking it, how it reacts in a pan or to heat. Grill, whatever, how are you going to do it? So I think that's interesting and very important aspect of understanding how to cook fish.
It's super interesting. I think that all of those are probably a lot more healthful counts than the counts we get from, say, duck or pork or
oh, sure. Well,
beef.
Fish is extremely healthy thing for you. So as long as it's, you know,
depending upon
healthy
the,
waters and all that good stuff, yeah.
Depending upon the amount of Blanc that's with the fish.
Well, yeah, I am. I am. I do.
Which sounds like it's perfect for grouper.
Beurre Blanc is perfect for grouper.
Yeah, because it's very, very lean fish.
Exactly. And that's probably why I serve it with grouper.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Hmm. Imagine that.
Brilliant scent. All right, so let's back up and get into the fish themselves.
Yeah.
So
yep.
We talked about flatfish, like flounder, fluke is another flatfish.
Sole.
Types of sole.
Dorade, right?
Dorade and bronzino are not classic flatfish.
Mm. Finfish.
Finfish and
more
finfish built for speed, let's say.
Yeah.
Unlike
yeah.
a sort of chubbier grouper.
Well, and with a flatfish, you know, you're filleting it completely differently because your backbone is in a different spot from where, or your separation of your fillets is in a different spot from, let's say, a salmon. So if you're filleting a flatfish, you're going in through the center. Okay, you've got the flatfish laying down on your counter, mm-hmm. on your cutting board. And
some of those things, like a fluke, almost looks like it's square.
Mm-hmm.
Or some kind
True.
Of weird trapezoid.
Yeah. So you're actually filleting down through the center and coming towards the outside. So your knife cut goes down through the center bone or past the center bone and towards either side. And then you flip it over and you do it again and you get your fillets that way. With a salmon, you're going to bring your knife in just below the head and bring it straight down the fish and down one side, flip it over and do the other side. It's very hard to describe on the radio, but You know, that
I'm
what
sure
you're
that
doing.
There are a million at this point.
Oh, there are
in
a ton
the world,
of videos.
A million videos.
Yeah, anything you want to see visually, it's going to be online.
Is there a
fish-wise,
best like
fish cutting wise
fish? You know, photographic book that you like the best?
Yeah, I have two books. Well, we just referenced LaRouche.
It's nice to have instead of watching a video and trying to do it. I think it's a lot easier to have some kind of a photo guide of. This is what you should expect to see, and boom, here's the fish in front of you. This is what you see.
Well, I'll tell you, I think one of the best books on fish and shellfish is James Peterson's Fish and Shellfish book.
That's a great one.
And, you know, really anything that you can find that would show you drawings or photographs is going to be very helpful. And the one I already referenced is LaRouche Gastronomique. At some point, it's a one-volume book. But at some point, they divided all the chapters up and did it. I think it's four or five volumes, and one of them. So you can buy LaRouche this way too, and I actually have it with me. It's a small book, which is nice. You can easily move it around, carry it around the kitchen. They have a fish and seafood division of the Gastronomique, which is nice because then you just pick up that aspect of the book, and it goes right to what you're looking for. And it has a lot of ideas, many ideas, and they're not all French. Even though the book originates in France.
So Peterson's book is called Fish and Shellfish?
Yes.
And that I recall having a lot of great photographs of, you know, like here's a, so you talk about flatfish that you lay out like that. And usually from those fish, if it's you yield probably what, 60%?
Yeah.
There's a lot of body and skeleton, not that much flesh on those fish.
Right. That's one of the reasons why they become so expensive, as well as availability and where they originate. You know, if you're working with true Dover sole, it's a very, very expensive fish. And there are other types of sole, and those can become a little bit less expensive, and that's probably what you want to look for in the market if you can't afford the Dover sole, which is going to be hard to find.
In finfish, the ones that you mentioned, the Dorad, mm-hmm. or Dorado, or you know all mm-hmm. the different names for it, or I guess it's gilt-head sea bream in English proper.
Well, that's another one of the things about fish. Often fish have 10, 12, 15 names, whether it's
all
from
coming
a different
out of the
country.
Same piece of water, but
yeah, it can be different country, different languages, but also they're just called different things because they've been around forever.
But that's a fish, and they're never gigantic fish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of if it's a 2-pound fish, you're going to get, you know. I guess fillets are probably for what, three persons maybe?
Yeah. Dorado?
You know, yeah. A pound and a half Dorado is usually nice for, you take one off a side, flip it over, take the other off the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's an easy fish to cook by itself.
Or whole.
Clean out the, that's what I mean, is an entire piece. You just clean out the guts and for goodness sake, leave the head on.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit like cooking meat on the bone. It's the same thing. You know, there's gelatin in those fish bones, and the more you cook it, I mean, not the more, it, by cooking it whole, whether the head's on or not, at least if it's still on the bone, if you don't want to leave the head on, you know, it helps to hold the structure of the fish, the body of the fish together, the meat together, obviously, because obviously we all know some fish fillets into very tiny flakes and other into bigger flakes. So you really need the skin on it to hold it together while you're cooking it. And it creates more flavor. That's all there is to it. It creates a moister environment for the fish to cook in, too.
Like anything else, when it has the skin on, it's going to steam from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
The flavor from the bones is going to be there. The fat that's on the skin is going to melt. And
mm-hmm. That's the other beautiful thing about leaving the skin on, is that will help with the fat, and that's super important. It's just going to melt away. But
when we cook a fish like that on our branzino on the wood grill at Pozzo's, the whole fish.
God, I love cooking
fish.
It's
amazing
on the wood
because the skin, I mean, that, you talk about your red wine with fish matches,
mm-hmm.
the skin, the amount of flavor that gets with the wood fire, and when that gets crispy, it's amazing. It's like its own other course.
Right. Well, I think you know, talking about how to cook fish, the biggest thing is to not overcook it and to cook it in an environment that is best for that particular type of fish. So it comes back to what we were just talking about with how much fat is in the fish. So if it's salmon, salmon grills beautifully. It does not mind the high heat. Salmon sears beautifully because of the fat content. You know, you inevitably are going to get this gorgeous crust on a piece of salmon if you cook it properly at high heat in a pan. Now, when I say high heat for a period of time because you want to finish it on lower heat. So you simply want to sear. And this is another thing. We always talk about, you know, stainless steel pans or steel pans. Steel pans are perfect for fish.
Steel pans are great, and also just the heavier pan you have, the easier it is to control that fire.
Definitely.
Even just, a steel-lined, heavy copper pan
mm-hmm.
that is generously large for, say, you're cooking two nice fillets or something like that. If you have two other people for dinner, don't jam four fillets in the same pan where you can get two great ones.
Right. Never overcrowd a pan.
Put another pan on.
It doesn't matter what you're cooking.
Larger pan.
Never overcrowd a pan.
Then you can control the heat properly. I think with salmon, one of the interesting choices is always, you know, to leave skin on one side or not to have skin on.
Yeah.
So you want to make the case one direction or the other?
I have to say I always fillet a salmon. I mean, I always take the skin off.
So sometimes I love.
I mean, you
skin
can
on
leave it.
It
on. You can. You absolutely can. But I actually cook salmon without the skin on. I want the flesh to hit that heat directly, and I do want it to get that kind of crispy exterior. And if the skin's on one side, that one side's not going to have that. But you can do it either way. You can absolutely.
For me, the case I make for the fish skin is I like the contrast of the flavor of the skin itself.
And it tastes good.
And the texture of it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a stronger flavor.
Yeah.
No question.
Well, one of the other things you have to do when you're cleaning your fish and getting it prepared, and we haven't really continued talking about filleting, you have to, if you are leaving the skin on, you need to take your knife blade and run it the wrong way up the skin and make sure every single scale is off of there. I still talk to cooks about this every day. You know, your board needs to be clean. I mean, the whole process of dealing with fish is you have to keep your board clean because there's going to be a scale somewhere, and nobody wants to eat a scale, especially in raw fish, but also in cooked fish. You know, if you don't want to catch that piece of skin,
you have
in your
to work
mouth
in a pretty pristine way.
Yeah,
if you want to get a good result,
you're going to go through a bunch of kitchen towels when you're working with filleting fish.
If you're doing the fish at home once a week or twice a week, it's not a big deal. It's worth the
fuss.
I'm not
trying to be negative, but there are things that you need to think about when you're working with it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly true. I mean, with something or like a dorade, say you're doing a fillet. If the pan is hot and you have a small amount of oil in the pan, maybe a tiny bit less than you would normally use for a fillet, if you have the pan a little higher than you're going to cook the fish, and you go in with the skin, you have to score that skin, or the fish is going to fold up on you.
It'll buckle on you. Yeah.
And sometimes you have to hold it down a little bit anyway.
Well, that's what a fish spatula. I mean, that's another thing to think about. You should, you know, if I were going to cook a lot of fish, I would have a fish spatula, which is an unusually shaped metal spatula, and a bunch of different producers make them, and they have slits in the spatula so that the fat can, you know, go through. But it's the perfect shape for a fillet of fish,
and it's kind of a little bit wandy. It's a little bit. You get very good control of those.
Yeah, I actually do a lot of things with fish spat. I mean, I'll even pull veg and things out of a shocking pot and with that. I mean, you can do a lot with that, but that's what they're for.
You're a maniac.
I am a maniac. And when you're talking about searing that fish, you can use that fish spat. Will cover most of the area of the fish, depending on how big it is. But, I mean, basically it will portion, and that you can hold that fish down with that skin down in the pan so that it does not buckle. And that's what you have to do. There's no way around it.
You have to do it, and the benefit to me is always what I love to do with a fish like that is hold it down, melt that fat out of that skin. So then when you go to turn that fish, it's going to cook in its own fat a little bit.
Absolutely.
And then this is, and you'll love this, the thing that I love to do that will make you happy is that when I drain the fat that's in the pan once I turn that and put a little bit of fresh butter in the pan.
There you go.
And that butter that's melting and browning and the fish fat that's in the pan baste the fillets to finish.
There you go. And you see that a lot on probably cooking shows, I would imagine. You see a cook taking a spoon and just constantly back over the fish, back over the fish, back over the fish with that fat from the pan, and that's why they're doing it.
Well, it's also all, you know, the seasoning of the fish itself.
Sure. And
now,
browning.
Do you season the fish skin or just the flesh?
I season only the flesh and then the skin when it comes out of the pan.
Like when it's crispy and done, just a little finishing.
Away from the plate. That's another thing. Always, anytime you're seasoning something, make sure you're doing it on the cutting board or away from your plate. You don't want that extra salt to fall onto your plate.
The throwing salt at the...
Oh, God, please. Yeah.
Isn't that the thing that makes you crazy when you see someone throwing salt at a pan?
I'm like, what are you doing? Don't throw that on.
Actually, go put the salt where it belongs.
Yeah, put it where it belongs. Exactly. One of the other things, talking about fat, you know, if you're going to sear, you want a high heat fat, a fat that has a high flash point, which means at what point does it burn or burst into flame?
So like canola oil?
Yeah, canola oil, peanut oil, corn oil. Those are all high. Yeah, grapeseed oil. They all have a high flash point. So those are, well, I don't know how high flash point grapeseed oil has, but you can still cook in it. It's good. But also,
so that's not butter. That's not.
No, you'd have to work.
Extra virgin olive oil.
No, and extra virgin olive oil is annihilated by the heat process. So you're wasting your extra virgin if you're trying to cook in
it. You lose all the flavor of the fruit.
But you can cook in a pure olive oil. And I would highly suggest doing that, actually, depending on the fish. If you're trying to do an Italian or a Greek fish preparation, using olive oil is really a great way to go. And just recognize that oil, even if it's just a regular, you know, whatever pressing of the grapes, obviously not the first pressing, which is what extra virgin is, that it will have very good flavor and it will impart flavor, whereas corn oil or canola or something like that is much more neutral.
Real quick to finish this segment, steaky fish, mm-hmm. like tuna, swordfish. Mm-hmm.
Please cook it medium rare, first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
And I would grill it, quite frankly. I mean, those are great grilling fish. So if you have the ability to grill it.
But you're talking about a nice fillet from the loin.
Yeah, nice fillet from the loin. Grill it. You can certainly saute it. I can't even see baking it in the oven. That just horrifies me. I can't. Yeah, I mean, you could do it. But, I mean, those are fish that are just going, because they have a high fat content. They are a good high fat. It's a good thing. You know, they're just going to sear so well. So, you know, put it on a grill.
A couple of times in Sicily, again, I've had tuna, bluefin tuna, that was lightly poached in a mixture of extra virgin olive oil with a lot of citrus peel and chilies. And
that sounds good.
Was amazing.
So but poached.
Poached. And then, like, rested to room temperature.
Yeah.
And then just sliced thin like a tagliata.
Was it cooked all the way through?
And dressed. No.
Okay, so it was rare, but maybe
it's a medium or so.
Oh, medium. Okay.
Maybe it's a medium or so, but the texture because it was poached at relatively, you know, it was not a high heat thing. Mm-hmm. It was just really just like the simmering oil.
Oh my gosh.
It was really remarkable, and the flavor from the olives and the peel of, and it was like pomelos and a bunch of different citrus that were in there, mm-hmm. that had a little bitterness, and that oil flavored that too, and before it was sliced, it was rested for probably 2-3 minutes. And then just a little bit of good salt and a little lemon juice, and was marvelous.
It made me think, where were we when we had was it Bonito? When we were at the winemaker's house and we were sitting outside.
2-year-old preserved Bonito.
Oh my gosh.
For breakfast with the red onions.
Yeah, for breakfast. That was one of the best things I've ever eaten in my life. And of course, we were in one of the most beautiful places ever. Where were we?
Agataria in Basque Country in Spain.
Oh my gosh.
At Chocolina.
I think that's the only time I've had fish that was cooked all the way through.
It's only the time I've seen you have 2 glasses of wine at breakfast.
That was light.
It was fresh, crispy. Excellent breakfast wine.
Yeah.
So when we come back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine, we're going to get into a little bit of a chef's challenge with a fish off.
Yes.
Fish on WIPR.